like it's a need to be addressed periodically, this kind of attitude that we sometimes fall into. I think it's a natural attitude and something that we just need to address and make sure that we as a church don't develop this attitude, and make sure that you as individuals don't develop this attitude that we can fall into. And particularly even with the message that I shared last week about, you know, living with dying in baptism, it was related to baptism and how we are to identify ourselves with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection in baptism, and how we are to live to die, and that is D-Y-E, taking on the nature of ourselves, the nature of the Lord, taking that upon ourselves like a piece of cloth being dyed in a particular color. It takes on the nature of that color. And so we're to take upon our nature of, to take upon ourselves the nature of the Lord. And then as we begin describing what the Lord is like and what the Lord is not like, sometimes I think that we get confused and we start to make rules about, well, this is the way I ought to live. This is what I should not do. And so it ends up starting to become a set of rules that we live by. And some we're given to that. In fact, sometimes, you know, this can be the response. Just tell me the rules. You know, if you want to know if, okay, can I do something or can I not? Just give me the bottom line. What do I got to do to measure up? And too many times Christianity becomes that in the minds of people. And in fact, they'll dismiss it and say, you know what, I can't be a Christian because I can't measure up. Well, first of all, that's the best revelation that you could ever have, that you can't measure up to be what God wants you to be. That gets you on the pathway to find out what you got to do to measure up to God. And it's not you doing it. That's the freedom that we're going to find today, living in freedom, and it's not about rules. So we need to get out of our mind that it's about rules. And Paul had to deal with this with a group of people, the Galatians, and we're going to spend really almost all of our morning here spend all the time that we have, not all our morning, because before the morning is over, we will be out of the baptism, but the morning time that we have here, in other words, I'm going to share with you from Galatians today, so. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 12. I'm going to skip over a few verses there, but let's start, go ahead and start with Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. I'll read verses 1 through 4 to start with. Excuse me. O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? You know, Paul starts asking, you know, it is a rhetorical question when you can answer it right away without letting someone else answer it. You know, the rhetorical question is, did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law? Did you receive the Spirit of God by being obedient to a set of rules? He goes, obviously not. Of course not. And he goes on to say it was the work of the Spirit. How foolish then can you be after starting by the Spirit to try and live your lives out, to try becoming perfect in your own human effort? But so he starts out saying you're foolish by trying to be perfect by human effort. And another way we could state that is by trying to be right with God by following the rules. So here if we're talking about, Lord, just, or you know, hey church, or hey people, or hey whoever's trying to help me in my life, just give me the rules. Let me see if I can measure up. It's not about rules. And trying to be right with God by following the rules isn't going to work. It'll just make us to be foolish. Let me go ahead and read verse 5. Verse 5 says, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It's because you believe the message you heard about Christ. That's how it is that we become right with God. That's how God works in our lives. That's how he gives us the Holy Spirit. That's how he does works of miracles around, among us, is not because we're following a set of rules, but because we receive this message. Now, I'm going to skip a few verses there that talk about Abraham, and I'm going to skip on down to verse 10, read verses 10 through 12. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. So it's clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. Okay, so let me give you the details on that. First, he says in verse 11, it's through faith that a righteous person has life. It's not through obedience to the law. And he goes on in verse 12 to say, this way of faith is very different from the law. So we go back to, you know, what Paul said to the Galatians, and the first part there is, it's like you guys had a good start. You had a really good start. You received the Spirit by believing. You received the Spirit by receiving this message that we shared with you. But the problem is, people sometimes will try to talk you into making it about keeping the rules. And in reality, some people like that. Like I said, some people are, you know what, just give me the rules. I'll do my best to keep the rules. Just give me, you know, just give me the bottom line, give me the rules. And some people really would like, you know, preaching along that line. Tell us what's right, tell us what's wrong. We'll try to do the right, we'll try not to do the wrong, and we'll do the best we can. And really, it needs to be very different from that. And sometimes churches kind of settle into that mode. I think sometimes the right message is given and people misunderstand it. I'll get to that in just a little bit here. So, but let me give you some research that's been done by George Barna Research, and some questions that were asked, and some of the responses. First of all, does a legalist know they are a legalist? And, you know, the obvious answer is no. They see themselves as an ultimate defender of the faith. And basically what it is, okay, if you want to be right with God, do this, do this, do this. Have your quiet time, read your Bible, pray, witness, evangelize, you know, do this, do this, do this. And if you want to be right with God, don't do this. Don't, you know, smoke, drink, chew, or go with women that do, you know the phrases, all that kind of thing. But the point of it is, you know, if when we make it about rules, then people are trying to work it out in their own human efforts. Say, okay, well, I think I can, oh, there's no way I'm going to be able to avoid that. So, you know, forget Christianity, I just can't measure up. It's not about rules, but a legalist sees themselves as an ultimate defender of the faith. Here's another question. The Christian life is well summed up in trying to do what God commands, yes or no? And the response was 82% agreed. 57% from that group of 82 strongly agreed. And again, here, you know, what we need to note is how people are responding. And they're saying, yeah, that's what Christianity is. It's trying to do what God commands or keeping the rules. And it ought not be that way. I'm going to share with you why it ought not be that way. But here's another thing, and this is kind of more the appropriate answer, not how people responded, but the appropriate answer. Here, Christian maturity is understanding the principles of the Bible and trying my best to live them out, yes or no. You know, and obviously the point of the question is they're trying my best to live them out. And here's not necessarily an answer that people give, but really the appropriate kind of answer is, you know, no, Christian maturity is character, and trying my best to do it should be heresy. You know, really, because it's like we talked about last week in dyeing a garment. The garment, you know, you put it in green dye, a white T-shirt kind of, you know, put it in green dye, the shirt doesn't try to be green. The shirt doesn't put its best effort into being green. What happens is the shirt takes on itself the nature of the color of the dye. And that's how we are to live our lives in Christianity, is to take upon ourselves the nature of God, not try to be godlike. It's embracing the nature of God. And there is a difference. I'll share that with you. Okay, here's another one that was kind of the question and the response. Rigid rule and strict standards are an important part of the life and teaching of my church. You know, my question is, how would you answer that? Well, yeah, we hear a lot about what we maybe should do or shouldn't do, and hopefully it's not a confused message, but here's how people responded. You know, 66% agreed. Again, 39% strongly agreed. And I hope that wouldn't be the case here. It could be, and there's some reasons why it could be, but because we do believe in a standard and living by a standard, but the motive for how to get there or how we are living that out should be different than rigid rules to get there to a strict standard. And but let me go on from here. Typically what happens with churches or with believers, with Christians, is they go to the extreme. And you've seen me put on, you know, the biblical balance of tensions and the tension between one truth and another truth, and sometimes they seem to contradict, and people swing one way too far or the other way too far and go to the extreme, which ends up becoming error. Well, one of the extremes is legalism, and that's like the church is like a weenie roast. Turn or burn. You know, that's the legalistic approach, you know, turn or burn. You're going to hell, you better get it straight, you know, that kind of thing. And the opposite extreme is like the 70s Jesus movement. God is love, have a joint, you know, it's like, whatever. You know, those are the, amen, brother, preach it. But the point of it is again, we don't want to fall into the extremes. There is a standard to walk in righteousness, but we can't do it by following the law. We can do it by trying to do our best to do what God wants us to do. There's more involved than that. And really more involved that makes it simpler than that for us to be able to live in the freedom that the Lord gives us, or the freedom that the Lord intends for us. Now, as I said, sometimes I think the message can be misunderstood. There can be trouble communicating. Either someone doesn't communicate it correctly. And I could see how I could even read through Galatians chapter 5, and I'll get there in part of the message. You could just read from that, and people go, well, okay, you're setting up a bunch of rules right there because it tells you what not to do. But it's not that. I think it's like James had trouble in his communicating. It's not like he communicated it wrong, but people misunderstood. When James said, show me your faith by works. Well, then people start responding, well, okay, there's this conflict between Paul and James. And Paul says we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then here James is saying, show me your faith by your works. So it must be all about works, huh? So is that what James was doing? And no, that's not it at all. James was just saying, it's just that real faith is going to include works. Real faith is going to include works. So show me your faith by your works. Your works are not proving yourself. Your works are just revealing that your faith is real. And so if we're talking about a person responding to the Lord, a personal relationship is going to result in certain things happening in their life. Let me just give you a couple scenarios. Would you say that there's a strong personal bond or a personal relationship between a parent and a teenager who's rebelling against that parent, saying, I don't care what you tell me, I'm going to do the opposite? You'd say, there's probably not much of a personal relationship there between those two. A personal relationship would mean the young person is saying, you know what, I want to be like my dad because I honor him, I respect him. I really believe that he is a person that's an example to me. So I want to be like my dad, which ends up, you know, you are conforming to the things that they're asking. You want to please them with your life. And so it's things like that that reveal that there's a personal relationship there. So it's not so much what you're doing means whether you're right or not. It's like what you're doing reveals is the relationship there already or not. You're not doing to make yourself right with that person or with the Lord. What you're doing reveals if you are or not already in a proper relationship. Are you rebellious to the Lord, or are you in a personal relationship with the Lord? And really, that's what James was saying. He's saying, you know, show me your faith by your work. If you really do have a personal relationship with the Lord, it's going to be revealed in your actions. It's not you do the actions so you can prove yourself to be right with God. It's the other way around. You're right with God, and that's proven because of the way that you act. I hope you can distinguish the difference there. So let's talk more about what is freedom. The reason God gave rules. We know that God gave rules. I mean, we're talking about this, the law of Moses. But this really shows us why it is that God gave rules. Let's go to verses in Galatians 3, verses 19 through 25. Let me just read verse 19 first, I think. Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through angels to Moses. God was the mediator between God and people. Okay, I'll just stop there and just share a few things here with you. First of all, we see that the law was given to show people their sins or their nature to sin. In other words, here is what it would take if you were going to be right with God. And people start to work on that, and right away they find out they can't do it. Their nature is given to rebellion, or their nature, their own personal nature is given to be contradicting or conflicting with what God says. And so that's the way they find out. Toss up a couple of examples. Well, let me share this verse with you first. Romans chapter 7 and verse 5. It says, "For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death." Okay, so it's like the law, when God gave the law, it revealed our sin, or our sin, our nature to sin. In fact, the law stirred up that desire or that nature to sin. And I think I can share this with you by a few graphic examples here. First of all, let me see how this turns out up there. Look at the picture for a little bit and tell me your observations. Someone's pulling fish out and he's got quite a pile of them there. What's the sign say? No fishing. The adult, and look at his attire. How would you describe, what does that person look like?
Looks like an officer.
Like a law enforcement officer, right? And here he is breaking the law with the sign right there. And why is it, do you think, that there's this, he's pulling fish out? You know, no one else is fishing there, probably. You know, they see the sign, they obey the law, maybe. But a person sees the sign and goes, I really want to fish in that place. Because the law entices us. Let me share with you another example. Do not press. There's a button. I mean, you're walking by that and you see that sign. I wonder what would happen if I do. You know, the curiosity, the nature of our own natural nature is to rebel and say, I'm tempted to, bah! You know, I want to push that button. You know, how about this one, a storefront? The whole front of the store is papered up except for a little hole, and it says, "Do not look in this hole." You know, that's what stirs up on the inside of us. You know, it's like mom saying, you know, "We're going to have supper before too long. Don't get any cookies out of the cookie jar." It's like, oh man, I didn't even know there were cookies there. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to go for it. We're going to go for the cookies, because that's been stirred up in us. That's what rules do. They stir up the flesh nature to rebel against it. It's not that the rules are wrong. And that's what the scripture says. It's not that the law was bad. The problem is the nature of our flesh is sinful. And so that's what the law did. It revealed just how bad off we were, and the reality that we would never get there on our own. We would never be able to be good enough to be right with God. His standard is so high that we could never measure up. And that's a good revelation to come to. That was why he gave the law, so we could realize It would be revealed to us that we'd never be able to do it ourselves. And so let's go on from there. I'm going to read verses 20. I left off at 20, and we'll go on through 25. All right, so now a mediator is helpful if more than one party must reach an agreement. But God, who is one, did not use a mediator when he gave his promise to Abraham. Is there a conflict, then, between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we would be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we can receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Okay, everyone say freedom. Only by believing in Jesus Christ. That's how we walk in freedom. And let's go on there, verse 23. But the way of faith in Christ was available to us, before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come to us, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through... Oh, I was going to quit at 25. I will quit there then. Okay, so here's what it says. First of all, the law in verse 23, it says it was given to protect us. And think about a playground. It's a little bit hard to see. I mean, it looks like there's a huge fence beyond that, but there's a woven wire fence there that's a boundary for the kids on the playground. A boundary protects the kids. First of all, typically those boundaries are established where children are not yet of the age to be able to know this is where I should stop. Beyond this, it's not safe for me. But the boundary gives them that security so they don't have to sit and go, okay, am I safe here? Am I safe here? Some kids will go to the edge of the boundary to see how serious that boundary is. And a lot of times those boundaries are what parents have established. This is what you can do. This is what you cannot do. That's for a time in the child's life when they do not yet know. They're learning right from wrong. They're learning what's safe and what's not safe. They're learning the boundaries. As parents, you are teaching them that. And they respond to that, obviously, again, because of the relationship that they have with you. A personal relationship, you know, causes that child to say, you know, I want to do right by you, Mom and Dad. Or if, again, sometimes there's children that go, I don't care, and they step over the boundary. And then an appropriate response to that is discipline so that they can realize there's consequences if you go beyond the boundaries. But this is what the law was initially before we came to faith, before we knew that our right relationship with God was dependent upon our personal relationship, embracing that salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, by believing in Jesus. Before that, it was like we needed something to keep us out of our own trouble. Because if we didn't have any guidelines or any boundaries, we'd be out there killing ourselves, really, and killing other people while we were killing ourselves. And so it was to protect us. Here's the other thing about boundaries, is not only do they keep you getting out where a place where you are vulnerable, but they keep bad out too. You know, a fence keeps the bad guys, the predators, the pedophiles, or whatever, you know, it keeps them out. And it's like, no, you can't come and you can't violate my kids because we have a boundary. We're keeping them safe. It's like when I took Hayden to the fair last Saturday. It's like there was times where she was in the stroller and there was times where she was out of the stroller, and I had her hold my hand. I said, just hold Papa's hand. And that's not because I'm afraid she's going to run off and do something she shouldn't ought to do, but I have to guard her from the dangers that are out there, from someone else coming and saying, you know, this would be a nice little girl to take away and run away. It's like, no, you set up boundaries, and that was Papa's hand. Hold Papa's hand. So that, you know, something wrong or something bad doesn't happen. And so that's when it talks about the law. It was there to protect us. It was to give us boundaries, but it was also to be a protection from the evil outside coming in and doing its destructive damage in our lives. But the other thing that the law was for is to bring us to faith in Christ. And once it brought us to faith in Christ, that's like the child who begins to understand, okay, it's not about obeying the laws. It's about making myself vulnerable or making myself safe. And they develop that on their own. And when we come to faith in Christ, we learn it's not about keeping the law. It's about having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The law's purpose was to bring us to faith in Christ. Once we come to faith, the law was done, or following the rules is really over. And so, again, as it said in verse 22, we receive freedom only by believing in Jesus. Now, here's the freedom we receive. A couple of aspects of that. I'm sure this is not exhaustive. But there's a freedom in knowing it's not up to me to be able to be right with God. The law brings us to that conclusion. Rules bring us to that conclusion. There's no way that I can measure up. And so if I'm going to be right with God, it's not about me. There's something else, and that is, again, believing in Jesus. The other freedom is in believing that the Lord has my best interest in heart. The Lord has my best interest in heart. It's like learning to trust Dad. You know, rebellion is like saying, well, you know what? Dad's ways are too strict. He's taking away my freedoms. And see, that's a child who is not yet matured to think that Dad's guidelines are taking away their freedoms. No, Dad's guidelines are protecting you, keeping you from getting in trouble, getting yourself in trouble. When we learn, okay, you know what? He has my best interest in mind. Then when we look at the Word of God and we see, do this, don't do this. It's not following a set of guidelines or following a set of rules. What it is saying, you know what? I believe God has my best interest in heart. I want to please Him, and I want to keep myself safe. Excuse me. I think I'll just do this. Just give in. So maturity brings wisdom. And that's where, you know, a young man or young woman comes to the place where they say, thank you for putting a fence around my playground until I could grow up to the place where I would understand. Really, that's what it is. It's saying, thank you for giving me the boundaries. And people, kids long for those boundaries. That's why a lot of times, you know, I'm not getting into parenting skills here, but a lot of times kids are acting out, so you'll set the rules or set the boundaries so they'll know where they're safe and where they're not. They're just asking for that, for those boundaries. But maturity is where they come to the place where they realize that those boundaries were there for their safety and their protection. And it's not like they have to follow the rules anymore. They're walking in that understanding on their own. But let's look also at what freedom is not. In Galatians 5:13, this is where we need to guard against going to the extreme the other way. When we're saying, you know, your relationship is not about rules, it's about a relationship where you are desiring to please the one that you're in a relationship with. This is where you can go to the extreme. Galatians 5:13 says this, "For you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." Some people will go, oh, so it's not about rules. Oh, good. I don't like rules. I want to do what I want. And see, that's taking the freedom and turning it into license. Because when you start doing what you want, you're going to get back into the nature of the flesh, which is contrary, conflicting with what God wants. And sinful desires lead to bondage and to death. Sinful desires, see, that's what happens when you start conflicting or contradicting, going against the Lord's way, and we'll see that here in a little bit. Sinful desires lead to bondage and to death. We'll see that in Galatians 5, and let's look at verses 16 through 22, and we'll talk about relationship results in freedom. Verse 16. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." That's what we sang about this morning. Spirit of God, be my light. Be the one that guides me. I yield to you. That's something else. Anyway, okay. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." See, that's not about laws. That's not about rules. It's letting the Spirit of God guide you. "The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Now let me point this out. Here's where people will often go to, okay, so now you're listing the rules. When it says sexual immorality, impurity, lustful desires, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So people turn that and they say, okay, there's the rules. You just define them for me. I can't have sexual immorality. I can't have hostility. I can't have quarreling. I can't have envy. I can't have drunkenness. I can't do any of these things, or I won't be right with God. That's not what this is saying at all. What this is saying is, if you are giving in to the nature of your flesh, this is going to be the result. That's what this is saying. You give in to the nature of your flesh, and this is going to be the result, which is going to end up in death and destruction. So God has your best interest at heart. He doesn't want you dying or destroying your life. So he's saying, here's the Spirit of God. Follow the desires that he gives you. See, it's not even you desiring it. It's him giving you the desires. That's what it said in verse 17. These two forces are constantly... Oh, okay, I got to go up a little bit farther. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires. Everyone say, gives us desires. Okay, so it's not you stirring up that desire. It's given to you by the Spirit of God. Gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And so there's this conflict until we learn to yield to or allow the Spirit of God to be the one that's in control. We give him control. Okay, so there's this constant conflict between the sinful nature and the Spirit of God. And the results are obvious. Now, the results of going after the nature of the flesh are very obvious. They're listed out in verses 19 through 21. But then we have in verse 22 and 23, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So here again, someone can say, oh, okay, there's the rules. Don't do all that, but do all this. Be loving, be joyful, be peaceful, be patient, be kindness. Let's work on these things. Let's try to work these things up in our life. And there again, we go about it the wrong way. It's like, no. Let the Spirit of God have control in your life, and these things are going to be a result. This will be the result of the Spirit of God being in control of your life. Not saying, I'm going to do my best to have self-control. I'm going to do my best to be peaceful. I'm going to do my best to be gentle. It's like, nope, just yield to the desires of the Spirit of God. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Have it based on that relationship of, I desire to please you, Spirit of God. I desire to give you control in my life. And this is going to be the result of it. The results are obvious. So let the Holy Spirit guide your life. And again, the Spirit gives desires opposite of the sinful nature. Now I just want to conclude this message today with this next section of verses from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. This is something that we just need to understand. When we are making the choice, do I give in to the flesh nature and see people consider that being freedom, I can do whatever I want, or do I give in to the Spirit? And some people consider that being rigid, because then I don't do what I want, I do what he wants. Well, please understand there's consequences for your choice. And that's what this next section of verses and where I want to conclude with today, that whatever you give yourself to, that's what's going to result in your life. Galatians 6 and verses 7 through 9, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So again, to, you know, conclude this, live to satisfy the sinful nature and you're going to harvest decay and death. I mean, you know, if I put this before you and say, hey, who wants death? Who wants to die? Who wants their life to be destroyed? Everybody who wants that, raise your hand. You know, I think we all know better. And but yet if I said, who wants to follow after the nature of the flesh? It's like, oh, I see a lot of pleasure in that. I see a lot of freedom in that. We need to see the end result and realize that, you know, God's not going to be mocked in this. Whatever we sow, we will reap. And if we're sowing to the nature of the flesh, we're going to reap from it death and destruction. Let's just be aware of the consequences. Then make your choice. However, it goes on to say that if we live to please the Spirit, and again, that's like a son or a daughter saying, you know, I want to be like mom. I want to be like dad. You know, I respect them. I honor them. They're a good example to me. I want to please them with my life. It's based on relationship. It's not based on, okay, I better wash the dishes. I better do my laundry. I better clean the bathroom because if I don't, mom's going to be mad. It's like, no, that's not the motivation for doing those things. It's based on relationship, not based on rules. So live to please the Spirit. You're going to harvest everlasting life. And then here's the big thing. Don't get tired. Don't get tired of doing good. Sometimes we do. We flesh out, is the term we use, and that's giving into the nature of the flesh, rather than continuing to yield to the Spirit. We want to have control back. That's the problem. I want to be in control. And so we put ourselves back on the throne and say, I'm going to do it, and we reap the destruction in our life. So instead of doing that, let's not get tired of doing good or yielding ourselves to the nature of the Spirit and the Spirit giving us His desires to do that, and we will reap the harvest of blessing. Amen? All right, let's pray. We trust, Lord, that the Spirit of God will take the words that came from You, Lord. If there were things that just came out of my own mind, my own heart, would just purpose that they would fall dead to the hearers, because we don't need man's concept or man's understanding. I believe that the Spirit of God takes that which is of the Word of God and imparts it, that which is of You, Lord, to impart it to each one as they have ears to hear and also as the anointing on the inside of them teaches each one according to the ways of the Lord. And so, Father, I pray that that can take place and that each one will be able to take hold of what the Spirit of God had for them as individuals and for us collectively as a body. We don't want this to be a church about rigid rules. Father, we want this to be a place where relationship is what's emphasized and yielding to the Spirit and to the Spirit's desires that He gives us. Father, You make it. Really, You do. You make it based on relationship, and that really does make it easy. There's freedom in that, Lord, and we want to walk in that freedom, not in a legalism that sets us just in a bunch of rules and trying to keep the rules. I thank You for this body of believers, for these people who really do invest their time and really do desire to learn, and I pray that it will be a blessing back to them, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, as we go to the baptism service today, we're just thankful that Your presence goes with us. We're just excited for Crystal and this milestone in her life, Father, as she's yielding in this way in obedience to Your word. And Father, we also pray for our time of fellowship around the table and for cooking of those burgers and everything, Father. We're just going to receive the blessing of the fellowship with the body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.